I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Well, just how rude are we? Let's find out this morning, okay? I got the results from the survey on whether different things are rude or not. We've mentioned this on the show before about using your phone while someone's talking to you. I think everybody knows that's rude now.
I try to make an effort, like when my wife or one of my kids come into the room and talk to me, I will set the phone face down.
Yeah. Not to mention anytime you're at in front of a cashier or checking out at a store on speakerphone in public.
I agree.
I've seen some signs in convenience stores says we will not wave it on you until you put your phone down.
Okay, how about a grocery store? Check it out.
That's rude.
It's rude.
I think anytime you're dealing with a person, if you're self-checkout, that's different. But if you're dealing with a person, if I'm on the phone, I'm like, Ma, I'll call you right back, okay? And then I call her back.
What do you think, Hawk?
I ain't going to say.
I'll put my phone in my pocket. I'm like, hang on one second. I'll put my phone in my back pocket, exchange, do whatever I can.
All right. Hey, I got a ton of these. So I'm going to go.
Are you going to be guilty on all of them?
Pretty much. No. Least rude to the worst, okay? Worst thing you can do. So they say, ignoring your phone call and just texting you back instead, 20% of people say that's rude.
No, that's not rude.
Yeah.
Okay. No, you should have texted me first before trying to call.
All right. Not offering you a drink when you're at their house if you don't ask them.
I don't know if it's rude, but I always try to do that.
Yeah. 43% of the people say it's rude if they do not offer you a drink or something to eat.
I'm kind of like, you know, if you're thirsty, you could just ask, too.
Well, you know what? We're fridge friends, mm-hmm. and we're pantry friends. So if I go to Tom's house, I know I can just go straight to the pantry or to the refrigerator.
I don't think we ever graduated to pantry friends.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I'm the same way. My friends that do come to my house, they know they can just go get whatever they want.
Right.
Okay. Results from a survey on whether different things are rude. Not replying to a text within a day.
It's not rude.
52% of people say that's rude if you don't text them back within the day.
Depends on who it is and what the text is about.
Absolutely.
Yes. And when I do decide, I just saw your text.
Yep. Yeah.
For the fifth time, but I just now responded.
I just saw it again.
Yeah.
All right. Finishing the milk and not replacing it.
That's rude.
Okay.
What do you mean? You're talking about like leaving it there with a little swallow?
It could be that.
Because that's rude. I don't know about how do you replace it if there isn't any to replace it with.
But I didn't need the swallow. That was like the extra amount that I didn't need, but I don't want to waste it.
No one else wants that swallow either, though.
But you might.
No.
72% of people say that is rude. So it's getting worse here. And then drinking straight out of the milk jug.
Oh.
80% of the people say that's rude. Now, it does depend. You know, if you are, you know, a mom or dad and you're paying for the milk, hey, it's your milk.
No, that's still rude.
That's your milk. You're right.
And now, if it's a roommate, that's totally different. That's even worse. If it's a roommate and you walk in, you catch them drinking straight out of the milk jug, it's like, you know, you're just saving a couple minutes. I just want a couple of swigs.
Yeah. So I got diabetes. I have to drink sugar-free soft drinks. But my kids will steal them sometimes. And I'm like, you guys can drink the sugar ones. Don't drink my sugar-free ones. So we had a 2-liter. I drank out of it just to keep them from stealing my drink.
That's like licking that last roll or whatever when you're at the dinner table.
That's so wrong.
It's like, anybody want this? And you lick it.
Depends on who licked it, because I might just still eat it.
Oh, okay.
But by the way, any condiments in my fridge, I eat out of too.
Right. Oh, you do what?
I eat out of.
Oh, eat out of.
Like peanut butter, I will eat out of the jar. My mayo, if I'm making a sandwich, I'll lick my spoon and dip it in the mayo.
Thank you for warning me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ketchup, I'll just turn up like a
drink. I'm not coming over.
All right. From least to worst, here's the top three here for you. Eating off your plate without asking.
Oh, yes. 100%
Hold on. One exception.
No.
Two exceptions. Parents or wife?
No.
Yeah, you can do that to family.
Like if I buy my kid something and he got French fries and I want a couple, I just reach over and grab them.
Yep.
My child will be allowed to do it. No one else can.
I love it when I have like 5 shrimp on my plate and my mom grabs one and I'm like, Mom, really? That leaves me with 4 shrimp.
Well, right.
Honestly, you know what?
But it's my mama.
Yeah, it's your mom.
Yep, she changed my diaper. The least I can do is give her a shrimp.
But I ordered the amount that I wanted, and now I'm one less.
It's my mama.
I'm going to starve all day.
I'll order another round.
I need the shrimp.
So you're saying your son could do this, but your husband couldn't?
Right.
Wow.
89% of people say that's rude, just mm-hmm. to eat off of someone else's plate without asking.
Yeah, at least say, can I have a fry?
It definitely depends on whose plate.
Now, if it's the table next to you that hadn't been bussed yet, and you just sat down to order your food, go ahead and grab what they did.
That's fine, but if it's just the table next to you, it's rude.
All right. Results from the survey on whether the different things are rude. Top 2 things. Unplugging your phone from the charger to plug theirs in without asking.
I think charger. You said that backwards, but
it says unplugging your phone from the charger to plug theirs in without asking. That's the way it was.
Yeah, someone's
mentioned.
Doing it to you is how he's reading it. Okay. Like, my phone is charging and
you
come up and unplug
it. We've been talking about
stuff
we do that was rude. Yeah. So it would be rude if you unplug someone else's phone so that you could charge yours.
Whose charger is it?
Good point.
If it's my charger, go get your own charger. Every phone comes with one.
We always go with who has the least amount of battery. If your phone is more dead than mine, then you can plug it in.
93% of people say that's rude when you unplug to plug your phone in. Mm. Yeah. All right. Number one thing, you want to take a stab at it? This is super rude. 93% of the people say this is rude. Not flushing after using the toilet.
Wow. I can't even believe that's on the list. Although I do know some people that are like really environmentally conscious. And they say, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down.
Well, that's probably the 7% on here that's okay with not flushing after the toilet, because 93% said that's rude. So 7% going, I'm good with that.
What about the people you hold the doors open for and they just walk through? Like, they don't say thank you or anything.
Are we still talking about the toilet?
Yeah. I'm like, is this a stall, the bathroom stall?
Or did you change topic?
I changed topic.
Okay, you should warn
us. I was surprised that it wasn't on the list. Have you never held a door open for someone and they don't say anything?
Yes. That's when you loudly say, you're welcome.
Just pull them back through and shut the door in their face.
Or slam it on their heels.
Wow, that's rude.
So sorry, I didn't see you there.
I think we have some people in here who have issues.
Yeah, how about putting the seat up or down?
It's how you found it.
Well, it's according to how many women live in the house.
You know what you do? You close the lid every time.
Oh, no. Well, I might be in a hurry.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
You guys remember a few months back, a bunch of monkeys escaped from a lab here in South Carolina. And the monkeys were running wild and they were having a hard time catching them. I think some people didn't even want them to catch, and they were kind of like, go, monkeys, you escaped, you're free.
It all started with 8 silly monkeys dancing on the bed.
Oh.
Jumping on the bed. One fell off and broke his head.
So this has happened again similarly in Mississippi now.
Yeah.
Apparently, lab monkeys from Tulane University escaped an overturned truck north of the town of Heidelberg, Mississippi. And the site is on this Interstate 59, and the Jasper County Sheriff's Department said the monkeys were infected with a variety of dangerous human communicable viruses. They said that they had hepatitis, AIDS, and a variety of other horrible diseases. Hmm. Now, since then, the officials at Tulane University have come forth and said that is not true, that they did not have any infectious diseases, and that there are monkeys that are being tested on those diseases. These just weren't those. They were a different set.
That's what they said on the Planet of the Apes movie, too. Yeah, they're good. They're all right. Yeah, all right. And then all of a sudden, they got apes a-talking.
Yeah, somebody at Tulane higher up called their connection in the political world and called the police station and said, silence the officer.
Right.
They did not have it. Don't say another word about it. I don't think they should be testing these animals for things like this in our United States. An island. In their monkey island off the coast of South Carolina.
I thought you were going to say they should not be testing on animals and then end it. But the fact that you're like, just not here.
No, they're going to do it.
That's what happened on Dr. Moreau's Island. Don't you remember
that? Do you have anything that's not from a TV show to offer?
Well, it was a movie and a book. But Dr. Moreau's Island, they were experimenting with humans. And
getting back to reality. So, Kata, you said that they're like, oh, they probably called and told them, don't say anything about the illnesses. Here's a little bit of evidence for you.
All right.
If they don't have the infectious diseases, you would think they might round them up and get them back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what they said. Stay away from the area, and if they see any of the monkeys trying to escape the crash site, they should be shot.
Oh, wow.
It says Tulane University has informed them the monkeys should be shot if they attempt to leave the crash site. Now, why would you do that if the monkeys weren't infectious?
True. Well, because you know they're going to say, oh, they're just aggressive. They're not infected. They're aggressive. We don't want you to get hurt.
You know those redneck hunters, they're getting all excited about that, going, hey, where's that? I got to buy me some monkey pee and rub it all over me and get in a monkey tree stand.
I'm going to put that monkey head right up next to the deer.
Yeah.
Now, the dispatcher told the reporter the entire police department was surveying the crash site. Most of the monkeys remained contained in the truck, but at least five monkeys had escaped the containment and that they're not all accounted for. But don't worry, they do not have COVID-19, herpes, hepatitis C, or any of those diseases. But shoot them if you see them.
Oh.
So sad.
So that is sad. They did, in fact, say, who said the aggressive thing? Was that you,
me.
Tori? Yeah, they said they are aggressive to humans,
yeah,
so that's why they need to shoot them.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they need so many monkeys to do research on? I just Googled Monkey Island, and, of course, the one is off the South Carolina coast.
Yeah.
It's a free-ranging colony, but you're not allowed on it because of herpes B virus.
Oh.
But in Puerto Rico, Monkey Island is a research site home to the monkeys. Scientists have studied there for generations. Aww. And I'm like, just do it there. So if they get away, they can't go anywhere.
And then they advertise that on some vacation site for the monkeys to get them there to go, hey, look how great this island is. You can have an excursion.
Yeah,
have
all inclusive monkey.
A monkey vacation.
All the bananas you can eat.
So they said that the reason they do this testing, Kato, is their genetic similarity to humans allows for testing of various drugs, treatments, and diseases. So they will give the monkey a disease like COVID-19 and then try to treat it with these medicines. That seems safe to me, especially then we throw in the back of an 18-wheeler and drive along the road and hope that some trucker without a CDL license wrecks and knocks them all loose and they go and get the whole community infected.
Yeah, that's the thing, was where were they going?
They provide them to different labs, so they were supposedly taking them to a lab where they could do more.
This is horrible. This is a horrible thing to do to animals.
I agree.
But I saw a comment where it said they thought that the monkeys band together to get out. And they did the whole, like, everybody run to the right. Everybody run to the left.
The truck starts swerving. The truck starts, what's going on?
Oh, that's funny.
Okay, well, be careful if you see monkeys running around wild, because even though they don't have COVID-19, herpes, and hep C, they are aggressive.
Well, I hope they don't travel here from Mississippi.
Well, I mean, they have gotten pretty good at traveling.
Well, that's true.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
It's National Cat Day, y'all.
Meow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, do you know if your cat likes you or not? Because it's easy to tell, like, if a dog likes you or not. Because they're always wagging their tail, and it's almost like they have a smile on their face when they see you. But it's a lot harder to read cats, they say.
I don't feel like it is. I think it's easy to tell if a cat likes you, just most cats don't like you.
Okay. I would think if they come up and rub it against your leg.
Right.
Okay. Rubbing their head against your leg.
Not always true, because I've had one do that, and I was like, oh, kitty, and it clawed me. Well, like, you little bipolar thing.
Sometimes they do that just because they rolled in something dead recently, and they want to get it on you.
All right. Well, I actually have the research here of how you can tell if your cat likes you or not. This is researched.
Oh, wow.
And you're not just guessing.
Wow, research.
Yeah.
I know. If they arch their back and they hiss and they puff their fur, probably doesn't like
it.
I bet you're right, Tori. That's not research, though.
So here's the research for you, they say. They purr a lot and seem pretty calm when you pet them. So that's an obvious one.
Okay? Yeah.
They bring you stuff like toys or dead animals.
I'm purring.
Oh.
That was you?
That's a purr?
That was a good one, man.
But it sounded like a burp.
No.
I thought you did pretty good. If you had a tail, I would have pet you.
I'm looking at Hog.
Oh, he doesn't like you.
That's a purr.
Okay.
Sound like a frog.
Yeah. Pretty good there. Sorry.
I've worked on it so that I can communicate with them. It hasn't worked.
They bring you like toys, dead animals, and those aren't really gifts, they say, but they bring them to spots where they feel secure. So that means they feel safe with you.
That's weird, because it sure looks like they're bringing you a gift.
They get in your personal space a lot when they rub up against you. They're trying to cover you in their pheromones to tell other cats that you are theirs.
That's not true if you're at the top of the stairs. Then they're just trying to kill you.
Yeah. It's kind of like when dogs pee to mark their territory. It's like the cats rub up against you. Notice they do that a lot, and they're putting their pheromones out there.
Fortunately, dogs don't pee on me very often. Mm-hmm. I mean, cats do that a lot. I'm glad dogs don't do that.
Some girls do it, you know, if they like
pee
their
on
date.
You?
If they like the date, you know, they're rubbing up against you. It's like, or they're leaving like necklaces or stuff at your house, and it's like they're marking
that's
their territory. Yeah. Or they're like, hey, I left my pair of socks over there. Can I see you again?
I'll leave them out front. Swing by.
Okay. Other signs that your cat really likes you, they gnaw on you with their claws. Licking you and lightly biting you can also be signs that they like you and feel comfortable with you.
They're making biscuits.
Yeah.
With your skin. And it hurts.
It is funny when their little toes go out there and they're just like caressing
so
you. They roll over and show you their stomach as a sign of trust for cats.
Now that's entrapment, because they will do that and then they bite you and claw you.
They claw you and attack you.
They just want to show you. They don't want you to touch it.
There's a meme that's like, pet me. Ew, not now, you freak. And it's a cat saying it.
Okay. They stare at you and slowly wink or blink their eyes. That's another sign of trust if your cat's just staring at you. A lot of times that looks creepy, though.
What if we did all these things?
I know. Mm-hmm. But you can respond by slowly blinking back at them, the researchers say.
I think this research could be kind of stupid. How do you know that blinking at you means it likes you?
Maybe it just has dry eyes.
I mean, yeah, it's got something in its eye.
And then it loves me. Finally, a sign they say, they greet you with their tail up. It means they feel confident and happy around you. So if a cat's tail is up, that's a good sign for you.
I don't think I've ever seen a cat's tail down.
Yeah, they don't do like dogs with that. I thought they just had gas.
They say when they carry their tail down low, it usually means they're nervous, especially kind of like dogs, if they tuck it under their body, like if you see a cat with the tail tucked under its body. And same thing for, you know, significant others too. And then did you know that researchers say cats can't taste sweets, believe it or not? So that Tony the Tiger, he's a liar.
He doesn't know if they're great or not.
I have no idea.
That's wild.
And they have a gene that hinders them from tasting sweets is basically it. Researchers say the inability to taste sweets is what makes cats cranky as well.
Really?
You know what? I thought it was, you know, having to go to the bathroom in a litter box, but that's not it. That's not what makes them cranky. If I had to go to a litter box, I'd be cranky too.
Really?
I mean, you kind of do.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I'd do like a cat and
kick
my back
your
legs.
But, you know, being that they, you know, prefer raw mice over chocolate, there's something screwed up about their genetics or something. Like, I just want a mouse. I don't want chocolate.
Have you seen the video of it was a stove in somebody's home. They're cooking like soup or something, and the cat jumps up there with a rat and drops it down into the boiling water.
It must have felt secure about that spot.
Yeah, I said, like, I'd like to add mine to the pot.
Oh, he said, oh, ratatouille for dinner.
And remember, the difference between being a lady who's crazy about cats and a crazy cat lady is 3.2 cats per household. That's researched.
So 2.5 cats is good. I don't know where the half comes from.
3.2.
I can't do math.
Well, I thought she was doing. You were saying less than 3.2 is okay. So 2.5 would be okay.
Yeah. So
but
I'm
if
good.
You have a half a cat, you're just a little bit weird.
Well, yeah.
Maybe you should just go with 3 cats.
I have seen the ones that don't have the hind legs and they got the little roller skates on the back of them. I've seen those videos.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. In the arms of an angel.
Far away from here.
Okay. Well, Kato's listening, yeah. Watch out.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to rock your world with this information. I know it rocked mine. We are all quite familiar with the standard toilet here in America. It's changed the world for the better, and certainly much better than when we read about Britain in the 1800s and they would throw it out the window onto the people passing by on the streets below.
Oh, that's it.
But not only has the toilet continued to evolve, there are more options than ever before. Now, I have a bidet, which is an additional feature to a toilet where it has a fire hose that goes straight up at your keister and really cleans you good. And that's an option for those times when you need it.
Does it have a little siren on it? Here comes a fire hose.
A little fireman.
Yeah. You're the siren. You're like, woo.
But there is some technology I was not familiar with in toilets that are available as options to you.
I love the heated seats.
Oh, I'm going further than that, Kato.
You know what? I'm just, for me personally, I used a friend's toilet the other day, and it's the heavier seat, the heavier toilet seat. Mine's plastic and very light. I'm like, I'm just impressed by the heavier toilet seats. Those are fancy.
Well, Kato, you mentioned the warm seats. We're going to go further than warm seats here. This is called the Incinolet. It is an electric incinerating toilet. When you go to the bathroom, instead of flushing, you press a button. It closes off the area in which you have used the bathroom. It heats it to almost 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and all that is left is sterile ashes.
Now, here's the thing. You ever accidentally burnt your hair and smelled that?
Down there?
Near. Like when you're curling your hair, it smells horrendous.
Yeah.
So what about the smell for this? Because I can't imagine it's going to be good.
Well, at this temperature, apparently it goes beyond the smell of burning hair, and it literally has no odor left. Now, during the process, I believe it has a filter, a carbon filter that keeps you from having to deal with that. It's not going to help while you're going. That's always going to be an issue. And there's no courtesy flushing on this because you don't want to be sitting there when it happens.
Yeah.
But this is an excellent resource, particularly for people. For example, you built that cabin up on the mountain that doesn't have running water.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't have sewage yet.
Well, let's think about it. It's going to make our water much more purified because now it's going into the water system. And they have to, you know, have a filter for all that stuff.
Okay.
That we drink our faucet water. Correct?
Sort of. But, I mean, they have a complex system that takes the sewer at water and treats it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. But we're drinking just recycled sewage water. No?
It's good, too. I don't like this.
This is absolutely no chemicals. There's no germs left behind. You end up with what looks like fireplace ash, and you just empty that ash from time to time.
Okay.
Which you can take it out and throw it in the yard.
So do you not have water in the bowl?
No.
You just...
Plump,
huh.
Plump, plump.
Okay.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Splash, splash, splash.
They say in contrast to composting toilets, and that's another one I wanted to talk about, there are such thing as composting toilets. That is where the toilet saves for you and creates fertilizer.
Yeah, it's like those flowers out in the front of your house. You got fertilizer. You don't have to go to Home Depot.
Yeah, imagine going to this person's house to cook, and midway through, they're like, oh, yeah, everything was raised in the garden. You won't believe what I compost with.
Okay, so Incinolet is one brand. It uses 120-volt or a 240-volt power supply. Cinderella is another brand that uses 240 volts or propane gas.
Is this going to be like a bug zapper?
You go and it zaps it. There's one called Tiny John, and that one is made more for camping, but it also uses propane. And then the composting versions, they have a lot more work. They have regular filter care, urine care, mixing requirements, emptying the container, etc. Now, these burning toilets cost about $3,000, but there's no plumbing to deal with. There's no plumbing lines to hook up. I mean, you just got this little thing. You sit on a toilet, and it burns everything up when you're done.
Like a little campfire. Same thing I have when I eat jalapenos. It is an interesting experience.
Yeah.
So would you guys consider the incinerator toilet?
No.
Cato, why? What's your...
I don't change something that doesn't need changing.
Well, you'll never have that little splash that you didn't want.
It's okay. Sometimes it's quite cool.
Oh, that's Poseidon's kiss.
I do not like the splash. I never get a splash that I
why
like.
Why are we talking about this? I just don't think... What if there's a short in the wiring and it catches fire or it's burning up your previous time and you got to go again, but it's not going to open up for you because it's already burning what you just got out of there.
I just don't like you having to change it out. Yeah. Like pull the tray out and there's the ashes and then have to dump those somewhere.
Yeah, and can people that smoke just smoke right there on the toilet?
It's the last tray.
Yeah. It's definitely an ashtray. Well, ash. Make sure we say ashtray. All right, well, it's called the Incinilet, and it is an option instead of, you know, flushing gallons of water down every single time and wasting all that water and polluting the system. You could just be burning your ashes.
Yep. Instead of having a plunger by your toilet, you have like a fire extinguisher.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.